Well, hello to the Auditorium Sunday School class. Perhaps some others might be listening also, but we welcome you to the Sunday School lesson today. We are in a new series entitled Facing Goliath. Facing Goliath. And that would involve daring to engage in spiritual battle. Certainly David had to do that. And so we engage in spiritual battles. We face those things every day. Our first lesson today is entitled, Dare to Answer God's Call. Dare to Answer God's Call. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to find 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll read verses 1 through 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I believe we need to read these verses in order to get the background of what's really happening here, and then we'll refer to them as we go along. But I begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Well, and Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? Then you and the prophet of God showed up, that things were happening, and they were a little bit concerned about it. Well, he said, verse 5, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And but the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Boy, this is an important verse. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by and said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Well, this is the story of the calling and anointing of David to be the king of Israel. Now, we know that God calls people to serve him. A lot of times, many people do not heed the call, and they may not even hear the call, but if they do, sometimes they refuse to obey the Lord and listen to the call and to do what God says. But David listened to the call of God, and David obeyed God. That involved a lot of things, but from his life, I think we can see some lessons for us on how to hear God, and what we should do in order to heed the calling of God. First of all, we look at David's preparation. We have a lot of Bible examples of others in the scriptures who made preparation. Joseph had to make preparation. In other words, God had to prepare him. Well, Joseph had his coat of many colors. His brothers were jealous. And then they sold him out to enemies. And the enemy took him, and he served in the house of Potiphar. He went through a great, great time of temptation, but did not yield to that temptation. And then a lot of different things came his way. He was cast into prison, finally got out of prison. But during all of that period of time, God was training him and getting him ready for what he's going to do. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You see, Joseph knew that all that he went through was really training ground for him, so that God would get him ready to do the job that he wanted him to do. The same was true with Moses. You remember, of course, the story of Moses and how Moses was taken to Pharaoh's house and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And then Moses had that training there for about all those 40 years. And then God took him on the backside of the desert. And as he took him to the backside of the desert, he was teaching him many lessons. He even guarded the sheep and watched them close to Mount Sinai, as God would have it. But he was getting him ready. He was preparing him to later lead God's people, the Jews, out of their bondage there in Egypt. And so he prepared Moses for that time. Quite a bit of preparation. Even the life of Paul, we know that Paul was prepared by God. Galatians 1:17, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Well, Paul was saying, after he had his encounter on the road to Damascus, that he got away and went to be where the Lord wanted him to be, into Arabia, and then later returned to Damascus. In verse 18 of Galatians 1, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Well, Paul doing? God was getting him ready. God was showing him what needed to be done in order for him to serve him and to become the great apostle to the Gentiles, and of course, to preach the gospel. And so we get back to David. David had to be prepared. You see, he was a servant of God, but he was going to become a king. And so God had to prepare him to get the foundation ready for him to be able to be the king that God wanted him to be, and to be the king of the Jews for some 40 years. If you're familiar with a place called Sears Tower in Chicago, you would know that they changed the name of the Sears Tower. The Sears Tower used to have hundreds of offices, all of Sears Roebuck, but they years ago had to sell it out. And they sold it out to a conglomerate from England called the Willis Conglomerate. And they changed finally the name of it to the Willis Tower. Well, it's the same place, the Sears Tower. And some of the interesting facts about it, as we might know it as the Sears Tower, was that it was 110 stories and some 1,400 feet tall. That's getting high up into the air. And what many people don't know is it had a cement foundation. And that cement foundation is 100 feet deep. And that cement foundation is vitally important. Without the right foundation, there's no way that 1,400 foot tall building with 110 stories in it would stand. And it would have fallen many years ago. But it had the right foundation. Well, David, while he was young, God was training him for the right, giving him the right foundation, giving him in his training strength that he was going to need, and something that was so vitally important that he would have character, strength and character. And I believe there were a couple of ways, two ways that I believe he was developed. And one was that David learned to know God. And underscore that word know. He was taught and he learned to know God. As a lad, as a young lad, David was out tending the flock of sheep. Not a marvelous job to have, not one of great notoriety, but nevertheless, that's what he was doing, tending the flock. And Samuel said that he was looking for a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13, that was who he was looking for. And certainly God endorsed David as being a man after God's own heart. But Samuel was there tending the flock. Samuel was there being trained by God. And I think while he was out there tending that flock, all that he went through, the time he had to concentrate on God, pray to God, think about God, meditate on God, and then see God act on his behalf in many ways while he was tending that flock, giving him victory over a bear and over a lion and over any kind of enemies that came against him. So God was preparing him. And I believe that David learned to really know God, not just know about God. There's a big difference in knowing about God and actually knowing God. For instance, some sports figures. We might know about some well-named sports figure, but we might not actually know them personally. Years ago, I had a man by the name of Lamar Lundy at our church to give his testimony. Lamar Lundy was a giant of a man, a gracious man, a Christian, and he played for the Los Angeles Rams. Some of you would remember him and remember what they called the fearsome foursome, and my, they were awesome. And he was a powerful defensive end, and very few players have ever lived that were as good as Lamar Lundy. Lamar Lundy was from Richmond, Indiana, just across the line, just near me in Indiana where I pastored, just across the line from Ohio. And he was a tremendous person. I got to know him personally and really fell in love with this man and knew him to be a great man of God. I'd heard about him. I'd seen him play on television, but I didn't know him. But I got to know him. Well, David knew God in his daily walk. And you and I need to know more than know about God. We need to know God personally. And so he learned to know God, part of his foundational training. And then he learned to use his gifts. He learned to use his gifts. David was evidently a great musician. And to be sure, he was a great warrior. We know that. But David developed his gifts while he was there being trained by God. And that's what we need to do. That's what he did. He learned to use his gifts. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18 in our text, the Bible talks about him doing that. And the scripture says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Well, he was one of those who was an advisor to King Saul, and he was saying, "Saul, I've seen this young man, and he, let's put it in our vernacular, boy, he can really play the harp. He's a great musician, and I believe it'd help you to sleep. He can play that music, and it will calm your nerves and help you out." And so he developed those gifts. He developed how to handle a sling. No doubt he killed many of the varmints and enemies that would come against the sheep, and he would use those things. And so he developed his musical talents and his music, and also he developed himself as a warrior. He learned to use his gifts, He learned to use the sling and he learned to play the harp. And you see, in the preparation, all of those gifts, God used them. And God wanted to use them. And you and I have gifts. We all have gifts. At least one, but what we need to do, no matter what age we may be, we need to develop and keep developing those gifts to be used for the glory of God. You remember the story that Christ gave in Matthew 25, and he was talking about giving out the gifts, and to one he gave five, and to one he gave one, and one of them turned the five into 10 gifts, but one of them buried his gift. He didn't use his gift. And he had an excuse, but God said, no, that's not good enough. You should have used that gift. You knew better. And I want to take that gift and give it to the one who used his gift, to the one that has 10 gifts. What he was saying then and what he's saying to us today is whatever gift or gifts we have, God doesn't want us to bury them. God wants us to use these gifts for his purposes. Somehow, find a place, plug in, and use that gift or those gifts for the glory of God. I read about Niccolo Paganini, an Italian violinist. If you've never heard him play, you might go on YouTube, look up his name, and play some of the videos of Paganini. Wow, what a fabulous, marvelous, unbelievable violinist he was. Paganini willed his violin to his hometown, the place of his birth, in Genoa, Italy. But he made one stipulation as he gave it to him, and he said there's a condition, and that condition is that the violin never be played by anybody else. Well, what happened? The wood began to decay because it wasn't handled. It wasn't treated right. And so, actually, the violin, that last violin that Paganini played, that he left there in his hometown, the town of his birth, became worthless because it wasn't being used. And I think there's a lesson in that story to us. Our gifts are only valuable when they're used. If they're not used, they're of no value. And so we're to take our gifts, develop our gifts, and by the grace of God, help others and with those gifts. And then here's another thing we need to do, and especially as senior citizens, we might help others to develop their gifts. God can use our gifts to help others to develop their gifts and bring their gifts along. And that's a good thing. I think of Madeline Gurecka, who is so gifted in music. But wouldn't it be a shame if she'd say, I'm not going to help anybody. I'm not going to teach anybody. I'm not going to train anybody. I'm glad that we have some young musicians and some that are already serving in other churches that have been trained by her because she used her gifts to help develop their gifts. Whatever our gifts are, God wants us to use them. Well, we think about that. And then secondly, we think about David's dedication. David's dedication, his preparation, and then his dedication. Think about this statement. Preparation is useless without dedication. Isn't that true? Preparation is useless without dedication. David spent hours practicing with a sling. But suppose when he faced Goliath, he said, well, I'm not going to use this. I know I'm good at it. And I know I can use it, and I can probably put a rock right in his forehead. But I'm going to run from Goliath. I'm going to be afraid. That would be terrible. His gift would be useless if he didn't use it. And he practiced the harp. He played the harp. Suppose when he had that opportunity to play for the king, he would say, no, I'm not going to play for the king. I don't want to do that. I'd be intimidated by doing that. But nevertheless, he did. And in all of that, he met Jonathan. And boy, that was important later on, of course, in his life. But preparation is useless without dedication. We've got to be dedicated. And so that's so vitally important. Well, there's a book that has been written by author Gary Enrig, and it's entitled A Call to Excellence. A Call to Excellence. And it illustrates the importance of dedication. And in that book, he tells the story of Bertoldo Giovanni. To most artists and sculptors, they probably wouldn't know that name. He was a pupil back in those days of Donatello. Donatello was the greatest sculptor of his time. And then, believe it or not, Giovanni was the one who trained Michelangelo. Michelangelo was only 14 years of age, a childhood prodigy, a miraculous child, and so gifted in such a marvelous way. And he began to train him when he was only 14. He knew that he was a gifted person, but he also knew that a lot of artistic people and gifted people were prone to coast and not really use their gifts. And so he was constantly pressuring Michelangelo, and he wanted him to be serious. I've seen some of the paintings and sculpture of Michelangelo over in Rome, and it's just marvelous, unbelievable what he did, the painting in the Sistine Chapel on a scaffold. But he was trained well, and Giovanni trained him to be serious. One day, the story is told that Giovanni came into the studio, and he saw Michelangelo, and Michelangelo was just sort of toying around with a sculpture that was a very, very inferior piece of sculpture. Giovanni grabbed a hammer, ran over to that piece of sculpture, and smashed it into shreds. And then he shouted out these words, "Michelangelo, talent is cheap, dedication is costly." And he got his point across to him. He was saying, don't waste your talent on something insignificant. Use it for what you intended to use it for. Well, we know that David was diligent on his job, and he was a shepherd, and he was faithful to do that job, and he took it seriously. And his brothers made fun of him, and when he took the bread to them, they laughed at him, made fun of him, and they looked down on him. But believe it or not, David took his job seriously. He really did. He had a sense in his soul and in his spirit that that's where God wanted him, and he was going to do the best job that he could. And I would imagine David was a marvelous shepherd. 1 Samuel 17:34. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant keepeth his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." You see, he was dedicated, and he was careful, and he realized all through his life that God was preparing him maybe for such a time as this. Remember this, that with God there are no unimportant jobs. With God there are no unimportant jobs. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." He's saying, these things are all important to me. Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." God's saying, just wherever he puts you, be faithful, use your gift, and use it for the glory of God. And David was diligent to keep the flock. He fought the bear. He fought the lion. You know what God was doing? He was preparing him, because one day he was going to lead a big flock. What flock was that? Israel. All of the Jews, Israel and Judah, the northern and southern kingdom, all of the Jews. What a flock he was going to have to lead as king. And not only that, he was going to have to kill a giant one of those days to have the victory. So he was diligent, and God blessed it and prepared him. Small task, train us for the larger task. F.B. Meyer said, don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. That's good advice. And so David fulfilled his, all of his responsibilities. When it was time to watch the sheep, he watched the sheep. And then when his dad said, I want you to take some food to your brothers up there where the battle's going on, he did it. He was faithful to do what his dad told him to do. When he got there, Eliab questioned his motive and said, I know you've come just to see the battle, and you're just being nosy about the whole thing. But, you know, it was being faithful to the task his dad gave him that led him to the great battle that he had with Goliath. And we should be dedicated to little things, menial tasks, as well as the big significant things. And things like Bible reading and taking care of your family and having devotions and the things that may seem menial to us, but God uses those so that when the time comes for greater things, more significant things, we are ready for them. And then thirdly, and very quickly, we talk about David's revelation. After preparation and after his dedication, God revealed his call. In 2 Samuel 16, in verse 12 in our text, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. In verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And notice this, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up, and task accomplished, went to Ramah. God promises his promises. And then God shows us what to do and when to do it. I remember the story, of course, of Abraham's servant. And he went out to look for a wife for Isaac. And God led him, as he was faithful, to do what he was told to do to Rebekah. And God showed him exactly what to do and when to do it. David waited for God's timing. He stayed behind with the sheep. Then it was time to slay Goliath, and he did that. And then there was time when he could have killed Goliath in the cave, but God said, this is not the time. And David in his heart didn't want to kill God's anointed. He knew better. We need to wait on the Lord always. Don't get ahead of God. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, he accepted God's commission, and there was a difference in knowing God's will and doing God's will. And David was anointed. His life changed from that day forward. And verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. David accepted the call. David accepted the commission God had given him, and he kept serving and waiting on God's time. He knew he was anointed to be king. Later on, he was anointed in Hebron at a later time officially and literally became the king. But he accepted God's call and commission and waited on the Lord. We need to serve until his plan is revealed, the next step, and be faithful where we are. Remember this. And summarizing all of these things that have been said, God calls us to do his will. He gives us a gift, and we need to not bury it, but use it for his glory. And we need to prepare in every way that we can and equip ourselves to do his will. When I was younger, I remember when God called me to preach. I was 12 years of age, and God called me. I knew that he did, to be a preacher. And then I finished my high school calling, did a little preaching while I was in high school. And then I graduated and went to seminary because I thought God wanted me to be more prepared. and I went to the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas. And then, after that, I graduated, but I thought I was going to a job as a youth director, but God gave me a job as a salesman for 1 year. I tell you, that was difficult and hard as I had to wait on God's timing. I didn't like the job. God trained me and did some things in my life during that time that needed to be done, some experiences I had with God that I needed for later on in the ministry. And then God opened up the door and I became a youth director and then a pastor. You see, God prepares us and equips us to serve Him, and that's what God wants out of us. And so we need to dare to know what God wants to do with us and answer His call. Well, our time is up. God bless you. I hope the lesson gave you some food for thought, and we look forward to being with you in our lesson next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your callings, and help us to have the wisdom to use them for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.